a blueprint for healthy living for you and your family and our church is actually a passage that I preached on probably about a month and a half ago out of the book of Acts, that had in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Therein, a Dr. Bill Wilson, who's the president of the Center for Healthy Churches, he points out five pillars that are needed to seek a healthy mind, body, and spirit. And those five are worship, community, discipleship, evangelism, and what he calls care for the city, or what I would rephrase as or caring for our community. In last Sunday's sermon, God wanted us to self-examine and take a proactive, not reactive, but proactive approach to the avoiding part of our church covenant statement, which states in part, we will avoid all addiction, all harmful practices, and all substances. And as promised last week, today, we must examine together. And let's just not go away looking into the mirror dimly and forget what we are here today. And that is, God has a message for you and I that we need to go out the doors of our church into our community and practically apply what he has for us. And if you haven't already started this, start today. And that is the second half of this promise that each of us has made to God and towards one another. And that is, and seek health in mind and in body. Now, if you remember last week, I pointed out that our covenant uses properly the action verbs to avoid and to seek. But we also are reminded about the fact that even in our own life, we know that just having a head knowledge of things that we ought to do, that we shouldn't do, is not enough. Nor is it enough to change someone's long-term behavior by just saying it. Every individual has to be. You have to be, and I have to be, every single moment of every single day, that we are stewards of our bodies and our minds and our spirits here on earth. We have to be humble before the Lord and acknowledge flat out that we lack self-discipline and we lose self-control. We need to make an intentional decision to deal with this conflict within, choosing to seek help. We need to ask for help, and we want to change. We know we need to change, but we put it off to tomorrow, either to avoid ongoing bad behavior or what I would say when we say seek good health, it should be keep on seeking the good ones. But where do we go for help? If you Google staying healthy, there are over 370 million sites that will give you advice or try to sell you something or a combination of the two on staying healthy. I believe that the Scriptures has what we need if we are willing to surrender ourselves to God's Lordship. Stop fighting your will with His will and surrender, as Lori talked about in Romans chapter 12, as a living sacrifice. We need to fear and revere. I love that. Fear and revere God, and we need to walk in all of His ways. Seeking health in mind and body requires a character that chooses to be strong. You're not a victim. I don't understand why the people in the body of Christ all walk around feeling that they are victims of something. We are mighty warriors. We are soldiers of the cross. We are wise. We are skillful. We are compassionate. We see this in the story of Nabal's wife, Abigail, and her encounter with David in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, the message today is not from that, but it's a wonderful passage, and I encourage you to read about the character of Abigail sometime this week. But for today, please turn in your Bibles to our scripture passage, which is found in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. And follow along with me as I read God's Word for us to hear. Now, as you're turning there, here in the sanctuary and at home, I want to make mention of the fact that this passage is an acrostic poem, wherein each verse starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with Aleph and ending with Tau, the equivalent of our A through Z. Further, we find a chiasmic structure composed of a series of parallel phrases, and it's very interesting that this poet not only took the hard time of writing an acrostic poem, but a chiasmic structure that has a series that works towards a center or primary phrase, and you probably can guess that it's verse 23 where there is public respect for her husband. Here we will see in this passage today. I know, by the way, we have Mother's Day coming up soon, and I want you to know that all of you females out there, make sure you bring everybody with you on that day, because Sherry and I have a special present for you on that day. So don't miss Mother's Day. But here we find good habits make good health, as demonstrated for us all by a capable wife, as described to King Lemuel by his mother. Please follow as we read out of Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10. A good wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will make no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant who brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and tasks for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruits of her hands she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to a distaff, which is a stick, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverings, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, many women have done excellently. But you, O capable wife, you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I dare say to you today that this is a person who seeks health in mind and body. May the Lord bless you exceedingly in the reading of His Word. In order to experience a balanced and healthy mind and body, all five pillars, the worship, community, discipleship, evangelism, and caring for our community are necessary. Let me share with you very clearly. This is God's Word is not a smorgasbord that you can go pick and choose what you'll have to eat today. There's no picking. There's no choosing for you, for your family, for your church. Otherwise, now this is a very important point I want to make. Otherwise, if we are all focused in internally within the body of Christ, if everything's always me internally, exercising as we talked about the last couple of weeks on the doing it my way rather than God's way, what will happen is there will be a decline in health and eventually death. I can't emphasize that enough. When I first read about this part of our covenant, I really thought about, okay, it talks about avoiding addictions and those type of things that has to do with me personally. But you know, when I got to that part, the second part about seeking health in mind and body, I've actually forgot about myself. My mind went immediately to this passage. And you normally don't read this passage this way. But I believe that the Lord had me go to this passage because in order for us to be freed up to do the work of Christ, we have to be healthy in being about God's work in order for me to be able to be healthy in my body and in my mind, in my spirit, and in the mind, body, and spirit in our family. And I wanted to know, how do I get to that type of a person in my character? In order for me to be able to do that, I have to back it up in order for me to practice it with self-discipline. Being about a person of prayer. Being about a person who reads God's Word continuously. Being about a person who meditates. Being about a person who thinks about simplicity. And not trying to gather up more and more things of this world, which I can tell you in 39 years of practicing law, you're only holding on to it for a brief time, for a split second, for a vapor of a period of time. Because let me tell you, I've had to deal with family members on the family tree that end up fighting about it. They never talk to each other about it because so-and-so wants mom's ring and so-and-so wants grandpa's clock, and it just doesn't stop. It's an endless, vicious cycle. And all of that takes us off the eyes of putting our eyes on Christ. You got to rid yourself of that. We got to be practicing corporate worship, corporate confession. We need to be celebrating. My goodness, we should celebrate the new members. We should celebrate the baptisms. We should celebrate when somebody receives Christ into their life as their personal Lord and Savior. That is what the body of Christ should be about. The energy and life that comes to you personally and to our church must be a balance. It must be an appropriate internal focus with a healthy focus on our external opportunities. When we do that, that's a powerful force. This is a powerful force. The Holy Spirit erupts. I want to see an eruption at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. I want to see us engaging. I want each and every single one of you in a way that breathes life into every nook and cranny of your mind, your body, and your soul, which in turn, wait for it, it ignites the church. It ignites the church and the hearts of those who participate in community. People in Piedmont will say, I can't be anyplace else other than at First Baptist Church because there is a fanning of the flames there that I have never seen before. I don't know what it is, but I want it. Amen. The individual and the family. Now, these good habits, which make good health, are not limited to a good wife or women in general, but are essential for all of us individually. And we are dads, moms, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren. We are to model this in our home because they describe the very attributes of God. So Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, that may be talking about a capable woman, but I dare say if you go to Psalm 111, read that this week. Psalm 111 parallels the virtues in Proverbs 31. We talk about worship. The most important factor to good health is a good relationship and fellowship with God. In verse 30, chapter 30, verse 25 through 28, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's private worship and corporate worship. Strength and dignity are what she puts on. And I love this. She laughs. When was the last time that you laughed at your future rather than dread your future? God gives you the opportunity and the tools that are within you to actually scoff and laugh hilariously at the positiveness of your future. And I'm going to tell you, if you're getting older and things hurt and you can't move fast enough and things go numb and everything else like that, I'm experiencing that too. But when I focus it on that, I'm not making the Lord lordship of my life. I will not let that dominate me. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness. Ask yourself when you self-examine yourself, did the words that just came out of your mouth the last time you spoke, was it used in kindness? She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. He not only rise up and calls her blessed, he actually verbally praises her. Why? Because she can be trusted. And she blesses every single person she touches. Her words shape and heal the wounded one. They are words of action, of kindness and love, as expressed through kind and loving actions rather than just feelings. It is an agape love that can only come from a healthy and holy relationship with the Lord. We all need to be in worship together as a part of our pursuing and seeking health in mind and body. Then in our community, how does community life play into good health? Well, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Her husband is known in the gates. Well, what's happening in the gates? Well, that's where all the leaders of the community have the authority, and they make rulings and they make decisions. So he's there prominently helping to lead the community, and he sits among the elders of the land. In other words, the character of one with a healthy mind and body is an encourager rather than a discourager. She's frugal rather than wasteful. She brings prosperity by hard work and faithful service. And she is a nurturer, kind-hearted. When we keep matters steady on our home front, everyone in the family can devote more time and energy to community leadership and outreach. We come to discipleship. It says here that, you know, as you read through this passage, look at these words that describe her. She seeks. She works with willing hands. She brings. She rises. She provides and tasks. She considers and plants. She girds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives. She puts her hand to work. You know why? Because she's not afraid. She makes. She sells. And you know what a good, healthy mind and body person does? They deliver. Then when we talk about evangelism, in verse 20 it says she opens her hands to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. If you want to seek a healthy mind and body, then ask the Lord to give you compassion for those who cannot provide for their own needs. Do you know a widow or an orphan or aliens or people with physical infirmities who are particularly vulnerable? And then finally, individually and collectively as a church, we must care for our community. Regarding the good health of our church, listen now. Because I truly believe if you truly are seeking, and I say keep on seeking, if you truly are seeking to be healthy in your own mind and in your own body, you better have as your top priority helping to be a part of using your gifts, talents, time, and treasures in investing in your church and your church investing in the community. If you take your eyes off of that requirement from the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to start getting sicker and sicker. It may not be physical yet, but it will be mental, emotional, spiritual, less prayer time, less Bible reading, less preoccupied with other things, sleeping more, eating worse, all the signs that you're on a downward spiral going the wrong way. Regarding the good health of our church, we do not have to wonder what Jesus would do in our place. Jesus modeled the way he wants his church to look in our town or in our community. Remember how he felt about the cities of his day? If you remember, I even preached on that as he traveled around the communities. We see in Matthew chapter 9, he tells us when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Then we see over in Luke chapter 19, you know, he wept for the city then. As he contemplated their blindness to the gospel, what a powerful and instructive moment that was for those who claim his name. Jesus only wept twice in the gospels. One was when his friend Lazarus died. And in this moment, when he pondered the dying city before him. If you are not weeping over our greater Piedmont community, I would venture to say that Dr. Wilson would probably accuse our church. Are you truly following Jesus? When was the last time you wept for our community, for your neighbor, for the greater period on either side of the Saluda River? Not out of anger or out of bitterness, but out of love that moved your heart to a level of compassion that actually broke your heart and caused tears to stream down your face. Such tears move us to follow the example of Jesus and go to the outsiders with gifts of love, compassion, food, and healing. Mark my words. Mark my words today. Thriving churches in the coming years. Today is April 25th, 2021. Mark my words. Thriving churches in the coming years will be those who weep over their community in compassion and who are then motivated to mobilize en masse to make a difference in the name of Christ. This cannot be left to a few brave souls that are willing to be a part of the church outreach team. It should be of all of our doings. Or to those who engage in missions when it's convenient, or who believe loving those outside the church is a matter of an isolated one-and-done efforts. Communities actually hate that. They hate that when people come in and do short-term mission trips. Everybody's providing clothes, they're providing food, they're taking pictures, and then they leave. And the one-and-done. We need to be continuously engaged in our community. The call is to know the Piedmont community and embrace it and give yourself to it in love and in the name of Christ. What we need to do is that we need to uncross our arms, unclench our fists, and let go of our prized possessions. Only then can we find the abundant life, a healthy mind and body, which Christ promised us. It is the way of Jesus, and it has been the way of dynamic and thriving churches for over 2,000 years. We need to humble ourselves, love Piedmont enough to cry and weep over it, and then give yourselves away to it. What you will experience will be your own version of Pentecost. And you too may see many, many people come to faith in the one who loves them more than they can ever imagine. Pointed out last week, Bible teacher and preacher Mike Mazzalongo offers that we will know we are on the right track for ourselves, for our family, for our church, to avoid all addiction, all harmful practices and substances, and to keep on seeking health in mind and body, when there are signs that a change begins with a change of who is Lord over you. And it is completed when your submission to Him is constant and your ministry in His name is ongoing. Not one and done, but ongoing and growing. Let's put the practice, these five pillars in our lives at home and in our church. Let's make it a priority for worship. Let's make it a priority to be involved in community. Let's make it a priority of discipleship, ongoing discipleship in our Sunday school classes, in our Bible studies, and evangelism, and in caring for our community. Do you want a glad and generous heart? I want to ask you that. Ask yourself that question. Do you want a glad heart? Do you want a heart that has so much in it that you don't mind generously giving away? Because when you do, you're going to have more in there. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of a heart? Do you want to see our church being used by God to increase those who are being saved? Then let's develop these Proverbs 31, Psalm 111 type of good habits. Let's seek out and devote ourselves to ongoing Bible teaching and fellowship, to seek out the breaking of bread, to praying together, to seeking out sharing with others who are in need, and most importantly, making Sunday morning worship and the praising of God together of the highest priority. For you see, the Lord, the God of Israel, has promised and is ready to give you, as He promised to His people through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 33:6. Behold, Behold, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal you, and I will reveal to you abundance of prosperity and security. You can demonstrate your willingness for change by volunteering to be involved in one of the Operation Inasmuch Blitz Day weekend projects this coming up this next weekend. Know this, God will be revealed. His will be revealed in your actions. So take action today and sign up. You can go ahead and sign that up. You could talk with George or anybody else that's one of the project leaders. Sign up today. And you know what? Even if you can't physically go to one of those projects, you can pray. Say, I will pray for the mural that Emmeline and her group is doing over at Sioux Cleveland. I will pray for Crystal and the folks that are doing the herb gardens. I will pray for those that are doing the quilts for the babies at the Piedmont Women's Center. Maybe you could write a card. Maybe you can't go on the walk, the faith walk, but you could write a card for those shut-ins and the people at the assisted living. They want to hear from you. They love that. They especially love those that are written by children. So take action today. Good habits will yield good health, but that will be the fruit of your hands. And God will be sure to let your works, guess what? Your works will be praised in the gates, in the community of Piedmont, but more importantly, at the gates in heaven above. If you have never received Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, I beseech you, don't put that off another moment. If the Lord is leading you to become a member of First Baptist Church or to follow Jesus in baptism, come forward. Acknowledge to God that you're incapable of avoiding addictions, harmful behavior and practices, or it may be a substance abuse of some kind. Let God heal you today. We are told in 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. My dear brothers and sisters, my prayer for you today is found in 3 John 1:2. It says this, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in health. I know that it is well with your soul. Come forward now and receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His forgiveness of all of our sins, and provide us with unlimited resources to resolve the conflicts in your life. He has an eternal place for you if you only come to Him and ask. He is waiting for you today.